We're turning God's word this evening to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we're going to read from the first verse. This is a Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. It is to verse 14 that I want us to have our attention drawn this evening. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As we come to the end of 2015 and look ahead to 2016 and the Lord's will, it is useful for us to start in a good way, start in the right fashion. Many people will be thinking about what kind of, after all the excesses of Christmas, what kind of New Year's resolutions they can make. And probably they'll start getting rid of all the chocolates, they'll start getting rid of all of the things that have caused them difficulties over the preceding year. And there will be that attempt to start afresh in the new year. Well, as we come to God's word, we find that it's not a bad thing for us to draw a line on what has gone before and to really set out what we're going to do for the year that is before. And what better way to start 2016 than to have a text like this mulling over our minds, going through our thoughts. And it is this: wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As we come to this 27th Psalm, we find that it is one of those Psalms of David. Not all the Psalms have a title, but where they do, they are divinely inspired, and so they do help us to understand a little bit about the background and sometimes about the author as well. And also on some occasions as to how they are to be sung and how they are to be directed. And we have here Psalm 27. It is a Psalm of David. And although we don't know all the details, we're not given any other biographical information as to what part of the life of David this was. Yet we can see from the experience of David right through the whole of his life how this psalm would have shaped, would have moulded, and how this has been born out of his own experience. In this 27th psalm we see his great love for the Lord. we see that vital relationship that he has with the Lord, his Saviour. As we read through this 27th Psalm, it's not David going through the motions. This isn't David just having a head knowledge of things. Here he is pouring out his heart. Here he is expressing his God and what the Lord has done for him, and the things that excite him, the things that grip him, and the things that move his soul. Read verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And in this psalm also we see lots of details, lots of expressions as to how the Lord is protected, how he views his God. He speaks about the Lord protecting him, hiding him in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle, being hidden, being set upon a rock. And these are the experiences of a man of God. And we have an insight into his troubles. We have an insight into some of the difficulties that he faces. We see what makes him happy, those things that he desires to do. And so we find in the Psalms, and in particular this Psalm, we find David and describing the relationship that he has with the Lord. He begins the Psalm in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" And as we think about the Lord that he served, the God that he had, oh, to him he was that light, he was that salvation. He would know the distraction, he would know the oppression, he would know the subtlety of the enemy, yet his confidence was in the Lord. His confidence was in Jehovah. And so as we come to this psalm, and as we come to verse 14 in particular, I want us to focus our thoughts on this verse. And to start with, right at the beginning, I want us to look at an exercise to be undertaken. Wait on the Lord. This is the exercise. This is the duty of the psalmist here. He is encouraging his heart to wait on the Lord. Now this phrase, wait on the Lord, occurs a number of times in Scripture. And in fact, we have it uttered twice in this psalm, at the beginning of verse 14, and then again at the end of verse 14. But we have other references as well, Psalm 37 and verse 34. It'd be useful just to turn a few pages to find this. Verse 34 of Psalm 37, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." If you turn back a couple of pages to Psalm 33 and verse 20, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Moving over to Psalm 62, verse 1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation." And then in verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." And then to a couple of references in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 9. And as we're looking at these texts, we will see that this is a recurring theme in God's word. Isaiah 25 and verse 9, "And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And then Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." And so in all of these psalms and all of these references we've alluded to, there is that direction from the Scriptures that we are to be those as the Lord's people that wait on him, waiting on the Lord. And as we think about this, it's not something that we switch on and switch off. There's not that waiting time and then there's that doing time. But this is an exercise that is to be undertaken at all times. We are to be those that wait on the Lord. Now, it can be easy for us to perhaps read this and think to ourselves, well, I'm not going to do anything, I'm not going to say anything, I'm not going to move anywhere until I have that special revelation, until the Lord makes it very plain to me what I must do. Well, that's not really the emphasis of this word, waiting on the Lord. Well, what does it mean, therefore, to wait on the Lord? Well, when we look at the original Hebrew, we have a word called kava, Q-A-V-A-H, and it means that sense of hoping, waiting, expecting, looking for. And perhaps a better way of looking at it, perhaps, rather than waiting in a state of a pause and waiting to move, we're in a state of stopping, we ought to think about waiting on the Lord in the way in which a waitress might wait upon tables, or somebody might do these kind of things. And so I want us to look at four pictures that will help us to see what this waiting involves. One of the servant, one of the soldier, one of the son, and then one of the student. The servant. The one who is that favoured servant, the one of the master who does everything. He looks for, he anticipates what the master would have him to do. They know just how it should be done, what pleases the master or the mistress, and acts in service with diligence and dedication. And so that servant is one that's about the master's business. They're waiting upon the Lord. They're serving the Lord. They know what is to be done. They have been instructed in God's word as to how God is to be worshipped, how God is to be served. And so they do that as willing, obedient servants. And the child of God must be like that, waiting on the Lord, serving the Lord, doing what the Lord has commanded and waiting on his bidding. If we think about the angels, they wait upon the Lord. They are those ministering servants, the spirits. They serve the Lord. They do as he commands. They are anticipating what the Lord would have them to do, and they do as he directs. Another picture is that of the soldier. There you have the soldier standing by the commander's side, ready at a moment's notice to go into battle. That soldier is disciplined, patient, waiting for the direction. They will not move forward until they have that command to go. But yet there is that state of readiness. There is that state of willingness. Perhaps you've watched some films, and perhaps if you think back to some of the films that may have depicted some of the battle scenes from the Napoleonic era, there they are in those great long columns. And the soldiers are commanded to wait, to wait, to wait, not to move, not to fire. And they would only fire when they were commanded to. And you know what happens when somebody got a bit nervous? They prematurely fired the gun or fired the musket or whatever it was back then. And by the time it took them to reload and to get themselves in a state of readiness again, the enemy was now upon them and was destroying the lines. And so the Christian is called to be a soldier, waiting on the commands of the captain of their salvation. They don't do things their way. They don't do things in the way that they think. They do the things that their captain says. No questioning, but a submission and trust to the wisdom of that superior one. Another picture we could look at is that of the child. How the child looks with anticipation, waiting to receive something. We have that in the parables the Lord would speak of concerning the child that comes asking for bread. And they wait, they come and ask for bread and they want to receive bread. And it would be an unwise and unjust father that would give stones instead of bread. And so when a child comes, you have those eager eyes looking, waiting, hoping to receive something from the hand of the mother or from the father. And when we come to our God, we come to one who is our Heavenly Father. And so we must come to one who we have that absolute trust and confidence, knowing that he has that caring, compassionate heart, that he is that wise Father who knows what is best for us. And so it is the Lord that we must wait upon. Not others, the Lord. And so when we think about our God, it is to him that we must wait each day. And then another way in which we could look upon this waiting is in the realm of a student-teacher relationship. You have the students there, perhaps not in classrooms like we have today with the fancy smart boards and, well, I don't think we have whiteboards in our day, I was just about getting into whiteboards, but you have the children in the class. But perhaps when we think about Bible times, we perhaps think about Paul. He would sit at the feet of Gamaliel. We would have the Lord Jesus sitting with the elders in the temple. We would have Mary sat at the feet of her master. And so we have in that student-teacher relationship, the students there waiting to be taught by the teacher. They're in that place of learning to hear what the teacher has to say. Now, we're not thinking about some kind of facilitator who wants everybody to bring their own ideas to the plate. No, we're coming to be taught by the master. And so when we think about this waiting on the Lord, those are the kind of pictures that we have in Scripture that show to us what it means to wait on the Lord. And it is the Lord that we must remember that we're waiting upon. And we notice how we have the Lord in capital letters here, that is Jehovah, the self-existent one. It's not some great angel that we worship. It's not some man that we worship. It is the Lord that we wait upon, the Lord that we are subject to. And then we have an outlook to be encouraged. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. And as we think about this exhortation that we have, this encouragement that we have to be of good courage, then the tendency that we must imply from this is that we're liable to be those that are filled with doubt and fear. There is an enemy about that would want to make us discouraged, that would want to make us feel weak, that would want us to feel as if we're defeated, as if everything is too much and too great. But the psalmist says, be of good courage. The Apostle Paul, when he was shipwrecked, he would encourage his fellow seamen to be of good cheer. And how often we need to be encouraged in the Christian life. Perhaps we've been believers for a long time and we've gone through trials and difficulties. And perhaps the temptation comes into our minds, well, is it all worth it? Have I deluded myself all these years? Is the Lord really going to help me? Is the Lord going to abandon me at the very end? Am I really saved? And these are the kind of things that come into our minds. And yet the psalmist here says, be of good courage. And so we're to encourage our hearts. And we often find that there are fears within, fears without. There are things from the world that will affect our experience. There will be things in our hearts that will affect our experience. And we will find that the devil will come and use all kinds of tactics and schemes and methods to try and cause us to doubt and to fear. And so as we think about the psalmist here, he says, be of good courage. It takes faith to rest. It takes faith to wait upon the Lord. Do you remember the Garden of Eden? Now, you may think that I'm always referring to the Garden of Eden, but it's so foundational. It is really why we are in the state that we're in. But in the Garden of Eden, there we have Adam and Eve, broken God's law. They have come under the condemnation of God. They realize that they've broken his law. They realize they're naked. And what do we find them doing? They start hiding and sewing leaves together, trying, as it were, to sort out his own problems. If I can just hide my shame, then that will be okay. And men and women do this and have done this right down the generations. And this is a natural tendency of our hearts. A difficulty arises, a problem comes into our path, and so we find ourselves not waiting on the Lord, not looking to the Lord, but thinking, well, how can I deal with it myself? How can I resolve it myself? How can I perhaps hide it myself if we've perhaps fallen into sin? How can we cover it? But we're told here, wait on the Lord and to be of good courage. In other words, wait on the Lord, keep waiting on the Lord, because it's going to be difficult. And there'll be all kinds of reasons, all kinds of accusations that will tell us not to trust the Lord. And so we need to take courage against the flesh. We need to take courage against the world and the devil and rest upon him. And for those that wait on the Lord and those that are also encouraged to keep on waiting, we have this reward. Those that wait on the Lord will strengthen thine heart. The Lord strengthens the hearts of his people. They're not on their own. The Lord hasn't abandoned. The Lord hasn't withdrawn. The Lord hasn't gone away. The Lord, for those that wait upon him, he will strengthen their hearts. And so the Lord renews their strength. And so there is a promise for those who come humbly, those that come to the Lord seeking help, those that come recognizing our weakness, and in the Lord, there is that one that strengthens. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, we will, in due course, the Lord willing, be coming to that great chapter concerning the spiritual warfare. We have verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so as we think about the great command that we have to wait upon the Lord, we have that confidence the Lord strengthens, the Lord keeps, the Lord protects. And David here, he has known the Lord's deliverance. David has known the Lord's blessing. He's had victories over the Philistines and victories over his enemies. We know that he's had enemies from his family come and seek his harm. Saul has sought to put him to death. But throughout all of this, God has kept him. God has delivered him. God has been the one that has protected and strengthened his soul. And so when all around was pointing against him to say, give up, forget about it, leave off the battle, he could say in verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And in a sense, and in reality, we really have this promise that if we abandon self and flee to Christ, then we receive so much in return. When we abandon this world in a spiritual sense, we have that blessed hope of heaven. When we abandon sin through mortification, then we have that tender fellowship of the Lord. And what we think we might lose, the Lord will repay many, many times over. And so we are to be those that wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, because it is the Lord that strengthens and equips. It's the Lord that stands with us in difficult times. When we think about Daniel, when he was cast into the den of lions, the Lord was with him. When Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were cast into that fiery furnace, the Lord was with his people. And so we have that confidence that those that wait on the Lord, he shall strengthen their hearts. And then we have in verse 14, the psalmist closing this verse with this, wait, I say, on the Lord. And you may say, well, hasn't the psalmist already said this? Hasn't the psalmist already spoken about waiting upon the Lord? Why would he repeat it? Well, really the whole conclusion to the whole matter is this. We are to be those that wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. wait, I say, on the Lord. The natural tendency is not to wait. The natural tendency is to go out in our own strength. The natural tendency is to do our bit. The Lord's people are reminded to wait. We're not called to wait only when we can't solve the problems ourselves, but in the difficult times and the easy times, we are to be those that walk by faith, looking to the Lord, walking humbly in his sight. When we think about Peter, when he was walking, when he went out to walk upon the water to the Lord, what was it that required the most faith? Have you ever thought about that? What required the most faith? Well, I would suggest getting out of the boat and starting to walk. And when we think about the Christian life, we will have those times when we have, as it were, great faith, and we step forward and we know great blessing in doing that. But perhaps as we go through that experience, we start to look within and start to think, well, I'm not doing too badly really. I seem to be getting on okay. And then we start to sink. Well, when Peter got out of the boat in great faith and started walking, he was looking to the Lord. But then he started looking within, started looking around, and then he began to sink. And so how often it is that we wait on the Lord in those grievous and difficult times. We know the Lord's strengthening. We prove his help. Yet when a slight disturbance comes into our experience, it is that very thing that throws us off balance. A few months ago, before I came as a minister here, we looked at the life of Elijah. There was Elijah on Mount Carmel. Great victory over the prophets of Baal. He then prayed for rain, and rain came. And then we find in chapter 18, he's downcast because he's fearful of what Jezebel's going to do. And he goes and hides. He's depressed. He wants his life to end. And we see how the Lord comes and deals with him. And we perhaps think to ourselves, well, what was it? Why did you do that? You know the Lord's help. You've known the Lord's strengthening. You've known the Lord being with you and giving you great victory. But then we come back to the natural heart. We can so easily become off balance. And so as we look over the past year, we can see the Lord's dealings with us. We can see how the Lord has blessed. We can see how the Lord has delivered, how the Lord has protected. There's no doubt that company of the Lord's people, that each one of us, we will have known times when we have failed, when we've not done what we ought to have done, when we've not waited, when we've not trusted the Lord, when we've gone our own way. And so as we look forward and as we review and reflect over what has gone before, may we be those that wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We do not know what the Lord will have in plan, will have in store for us for the year that is before us in his will, if he should tarry. Yet we can go in confidence that the Lord is with us. The Lord has blessed us in times past, and we are exhorted here to wait upon him. Those that wait on him will be strengthened. Amen.